2 Corinthians 5, and again, we're talking about taking your place in Christ. And in order to take your place in Christ, you have to be in Christ. So, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." In the Amplified translation, it says, "Therefore, if any person is engrafted into Christ the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come." What does that mean, the old moral and spiritual condition? That means that my nature has been changed. That means now I've received the very life and nature of God. And so it also means that when you look at the book of Colossians, it says we've been delivered out of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. So now I don't report to the devil anymore. He's not my Lord. He's not my master. Jesus is now. And so I've taken on his life and his very nature. I remember when I got born again, I remember it was like yesterday. It'll be 40 years next year. And I remember it like yesterday. Boy, I was a mess. M-E-S-S, mess. Cursing and swearing and smoking and drinking and doing goofy stuff. And so I remember I had a sailor's mouth or a truck driver's mouth. Every other word was a four-letter curse word. I'm serious. And I wasn't raised that way. I never heard once ever in all my life growing up, I never heard my parents curse. Ever. They were Christian. It was not allowed in the house. They never did. Man, I got my father mad sometimes, but he never cursed. But he never cursed. He grabbed me, but he never cursed. But I remember, because I worked construction going through college, I picked up cursing. That's why I say when you're around people, you pick up, you're known by the company you keep. And so when you start hanging around the wrong element, you pick things up. And I started to curse. And boy, it was like a flowing river. And I could turn it on and off when necessary. And so I remember the very day I got saved, when I accepted Christ, it was like a fire down here. I didn't know what happened to me. And something changed. I knew it changed. And so I went home that day. I like sports cars, still do. And so I had a sports car, and I'm underneath the car doing something. It was a new car, and I was fiddling around with it. And I got under the car, and I whacked my hand with a wrench. And normally, I'd just curse. Nothing came out. And it arrested me. I went, I'm serious. I'm under the car. And I went, what happened to me? No cursing came out. I mean, it stopped me. I'm laying on the ground, and it just arrested my attention. I knew something changed. What happened? I received the very life and nature of God. That old moral, spiritual condition that I had, gone. Changed in an instant. And I'm telling you, I remember it. And so, we've become brand new. I like this one translation. The man he was has passed away, and behold, a new man has been created. The Living Bible says he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. That's what Galatians 2:20 says. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless, yet not I, but Christ, what? Liveth in me. He lives in me now. That's what we're talking about. I'm brand new. So verse 18 in 2 Corinthians 5, it says, "And all things are of God, who hath what? Reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ doing what? Reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. That means he's not holding anything against mankind. That's why we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. That's why when people knock on your door for Halloween, you can share the love of God with them and say, God loves you. He's not holding anything against you. All the goofy stuff we've done, he paid for it. Isn't that wonderful? I tell you, that's wonderful. That's just good news to me. And so he's not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we're ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now verse 21 is the significant verse for me. For he hath made him, he God, that's what that means there, that he God hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, who what? Who knew no sin, that we might be made what? The righteousness of God in him, in Christ. So when I became a brand new creature, a brand new person inside, I literally received the righteousness of God in Christ. Because I'm in Christ, I receive literally the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. That's good news to me. So this righteousness that we've received is... And here's another thing. When we talk about, turn over to John 15. I want you to just look at a few scriptures here, and then I want to share something along this line here. John 15, and it talks about the vine and the branch. Let me get over here. John 15. And it says, I am the true vine. We're talking about the vine and the branch. And it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch, what? In me. That's what we became. We are now in Christ. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And then verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same what? Bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So once we're in Christ, we bring forth fruits of righteousness. Because now we're righteous in God, we have the righteousness of God in Christ. And now this fruit bearing, as this says here, we bring forth fruit. We bring forth the same fruit as Christ. Think about it. Jesus' whole ministry was about the fruit of righteousness. He was righteous. He had no sin. And he brought forth what? Fruit. He said, I came here to do the work of my Father. So we have some works to do. When we say works, don't get stuck on that, because we don't become righteous by works. We are righteous once we accept Christ, but because we're in the vine, we bear fruit. And that fruit is the fruit of righteousness. Now, I want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And you can see this, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And starting in verse 7, talks about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, it says, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart. And he's talking about giving here. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a, what? A cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now look at verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown, and does what? And increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now that's sometimes the King James isn't, I won't say it's not clear, but it's not as clear for us today. We don't talk like that, and so sometimes when we read it, it doesn't make sense. So let me read it in the Amplified, verse 10. It says, and God, who provides seed for the sower and bread for eating, will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, which manifest itself. See, this is where it makes it clear. He'll increase the fruits of your righteousness, which manifests itself in active goodness, kindness, and charity. He will increase the fruits of your righteousness, which manifest itself in active goodness, kindness, and charity. God is doing that. And he's doing that as a result of you giving, where you're sowing your seed, your money into something. He's increasing and providing seed or bread for the eater, but he's also doing what? It says he's increasing the fruits of your righteousness. Wow. Isn't that exciting? You didn't know that, did you? And so here, what this is saying is the branch bears the same kind of fruit as the vine. That's what we just got done saying. The branch in me, he says, if you stay in me, you'll bear the same kind of fruit. That's what John 15 was saying. So what is that really saying? When he said here in John, John 14, we read 15. Why don't you go back to John 14 and let's look at this a second here. John 14, we looked at 15 regarding the vine and the branch, but look at John 14 and look at verse 9. It says, and of course, Philip's, the verse before, he says, Lord, show us the Father. And Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth me in me, he doeth the works. So we're talking about works of righteousness, fruits of righteousness. Here in Jesus' life, the Father worked through him. He did the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. He's talking about us now. And greater works than these shall he do, because what? I go unto my Father. And look at verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So here's some points that I'm going to make. What things could be done if we were conscious of our righteousness? And what am I saying? There are many in church that would say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I know Christ. I'm a Christian. But they're not conscious. There's not a reality of who they are in Christ. What's been secured for them. They know they've received Christ. But that's about as far as they've gone. Some will even say, well, yes, I'm a Christian. I've received Christ. I've also received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I speak in other tongues. They know that. But here's the question. Why is that not? In other words, they know their sins are forgiven. They know they're justified. But there's a consciousness of sin in their life. And yet, Christ has forgiven that. And yet they dwell on it. They think about it. You know, we've had some come here and Nanuet, and they think that Christ could never accept them, even though they've accepted Christ. And so, in a sense, they're stuck, and they've received Christ. Their sins have been pardoned, and yet they're thinking about their past. And so they never exhibit the fruits of righteousness because there's a sin consciousness in their life. They dwell on their past. And so we need to become more God inside minded, as Brother Hagin used to say. So the Word of God has not become real to them. And I'm not saying that anybody here is that way, but if you meet people like that, you need to share with them that if Christ has forgiven you, it's forgiven once and for all. And so turn over for a second. I want to just look at this over at Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, I want to look at a few scripture verses there. When you think about the fruits of righteousness, you're in Hebrews 10. Just hold your finger there, and I want you to look at this one scripture before we look at Hebrews 10. Hold your finger there and go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And look at verses 5 and 6. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5 and verse 6. Say, boy, we're looking at a lot of scriptures. I could read them, but I want your eyes to read them. Has more impact. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God, what? Perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Now look at verse 6. It says, he that saith, see, this is what we're talking about. I'm a Christian. I'm in Christ. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. So that means we're to operate in this earth as Christ operated. Did he produce fruits of righteousness? Yes, so will we. Did he reach out to people and share the good news of the gospel? Yes, so will we. Did he lay hands on the sick? Yes, so will we. Did he cast out demons? Yes, so will we. And so I wanted to show you that because we're to produce fruits of righteousness. And we do that by doing what? Staying connected in the vine. Now look at chapter 10 of Hebrews. And there's some very interesting verses in here that talk about being forgiven. And the very first few verses are interesting. It says, for the law, having a shadow, he's talking about the old covenant here. For the law, or the Old Testament, or Old Covenant, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. What does that mean? That means their sins could not be, they were forgiven annually, once a year, by the shedding of goats and bulls. So they had to shed blood. And they did that, and the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and present the blood, and their sins were forgiven annually. But there was a remembrance of sin. So there was a consciousness of sin in their thinking. They had a sin consciousness. This is the point here. Look at verse 2. For then would they not have, and it's saying here, so it says that they can't be made perfect. For then would they not have ceased to been offered? The answer is yes, if they had been made perfect. Because, look, that the worshipers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. Boy, that's a powerful statement right there. So because they did this annually, they had a conscience of sin, or a consciousness of sin. Or we could say it, a sin consciousness. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. That was the law, the Old Testament, under Moses' time. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, talking about Jesus now, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written to me of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered, how? By the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Look, he taketh away the first, he's talking about the first covenant now, the old covenant, and what? He said, that he may establish the second. He's talking about the new covenant. By the which what? By this new covenant, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. How? Once for all. So the sacrifice of Jesus was once for all. There is no remembrance of sin again. And there should not. So I'm going to continue, because this is, says here, this is exciting to me. It changes your mind. It changes how you think. It changes you to remind you, you are now the righteousness of God in Christ. No more remembrance of sin by God. We may remember it, but he doesn't. So look, verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, oh boy, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Verse 15. Whereof the Holy Ghost also was a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. He's talking about the new covenant now. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. See, this changes not only our heart, but it begins to change our mind, our thinking. Now look at verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. If he's not remembering it, neither should we. And this changes how we approach God. We don't have to come and say, oh God, forgive me. He said, I have, and I don't remember it, and neither should you. There should be no sin consciousness. You are a brand new person in Christ. The old has passed away, the new has come. What's the new? Righteousness. His very nature has come into us. When the scripture says that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, how could God dwell in an unworthy place? See, when you look at the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, when it talks about God dwelling in the Holy of Holies, in the Ark of the Covenant, that was that physical place. But now he does what? He dwells in us. Hallelujah. So when you look at this, he says what? And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now what? What does it say here? Now where remission of these is, they've been remitted, not covered. They've been wiped away. He doesn't remember them. They're not. You can't find them. God can't find them, and neither can the devil. Don't go on a scuba dive. So this says here, you won't find them. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. No more sin consciousness. Shouldn't be. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, see, we have now boldness to do what? Enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. By the new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God. What does it say? Let us do what? Draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast our profession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Glory to God. Those verses excite me because we are made worthy. I shared this in Nanuet. It was something Brother Hagin, when he was alive. And of course, if you've read any of his books or you've listened to him when he was alive, he passed away in 2003, went home to be with the Lord in heaven. But he had seven visions of Jesus in various ways. Some Jesus just walked right into the room and he's standing in front of him like you or I. And he's visible. Some he appeared in a vision. A few times, Brother Hagin was in heaven in front of him. But he said one time, Jesus appeared to him, and he said in this vision, he said, Brother Hagin got down on his knees like this, and he said, oh Lord, I'm not worthy to stand in your presence and look at you. And this is what Jesus said. He said, stand up. I've made you worthy. Ooh. Jesus said, stand up. I've made you worthy. And he said it with boldness. Stand up. I've made you worthy. With what? The blood of Christ. We've been made worthy. We've been made righteous. And so this righteous thinking is not just something I'm coming up with. It's the very nature of Christ that's been put in me. That's what he said. I've changed what? In Hebrews it says here, he goes on, he said, he said in verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and into their minds will I write them. He's changing our heart and minds. But what happens is, this is what I was making a point here, that you could know Christ in the forgiveness of your sin and pardon of your sins, but your thinking is not hooking up with your heart. It's what I was sharing before. Genesis talks about in the first chapter, it says, God made man in the image and likeness. He made man in his image and likeness. Well, God is a spirit. John 4:24, it says, God is a spirit. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if God is a spirit, then we're a spirit. And we have a soul, and we live in this body. But somebody shared something recently that helped me a little bit. He said, you are a spirit, and your spirit operates through your soul. And your soul operates through your body. So think about that. If your spirit has been made brand new, and now it needs to grow, what's the food that we're supposed to feed on? The Word of God. Jesus said that he was the bread of life. So this Word is our food. Now, you think about it. You take a little baby child home. It needs to be nurtured. They're not strong enough to be on their own. So they need to be tended to. Well, that's like your spirit. Your spirit needs food. It needs to be developed. But your thinking, your mind, still, even though it's been affected by redemption that we've received, it still needs to be changed. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So your mind has to be transformed. How? By the Word of God. So if my spirit operates through my soul, if my soul is still sin conscious, then when I begin to operate and I want to do something, I'm like, I can't do that. God won't accept me. Why is that? Because your mind still thinks back and reflects back on all of the stuff you did and all of the goofing that God could never accept me the way I am. And yet, your heart's been changed. And we just got done reading here. He said, in their sins and iniquities, I will remember no more. God says, I don't remember them. But if your mind is still stuck on the past, your heart doesn't embrace the truth of redemption. And you never walk in all that God has given you. That's where we're talking about this subject of righteousness and even the fruits of righteousness. How could you even produce the fruits of righteousness if you have a sin consciousness? You can't. It's very difficult because you don't think that you're worthy enough You'll be begging God instead of walking in authority. Just like that police officer, they're given a badge and a gun to do what? And they've been given authority. Now you can just imagine if you had a police officer that was stuck thinking about what a goofball they were, right? Instead of them out doing what they're supposed to be doing, right? So it's that kind of thing where if we don't know who we've become in Christ, how do you even produce the fruits of righteousness? You don't. Because all you're doing is whining and complaining and asking God to help you. And yet he's saying, I've forgiven you. Grow up. Amen? Something to think about. So this sin nature, God took the sin nature out of us. And when you look at this, the whole epistles, when we look at 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, when we look at, you know, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, and we look at all of the epistles, this is the unveiling. God worked through Paul to unveil his very thoughts about this, the unveiling of our redemption. So God took this sin nature out of us once forever. He took it out of us and did what? He replaced it with his very nature. His nature is righteousness. So this revelation of God, let me turn over to Romans chapter 3 for a minute. You can see this particular scripture, just one verse, Romans chapter 3, and look at verse 26. Romans 3 and verse 26. It says, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him who does what? Which believeth in Jesus. This is what the Amplified says. It says, it was to demonstrate and prove at the present time, in the now season, that he himself is righteous and that he justifies and accepts as righteous him who has true faith in Jesus. So when we become a brand new Christian, when we become the righteousness of God in Christ, which is 2 Corinthians 5:21, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. That's Romans 8:1. So if you've become the righteousness of God in Christ, there is no condemnation to you. Why? Because you're in Christ. So we need to be more conscious of who's in us, that we've received eternal life, a new nature, a new standing before God. And this allows us to do what? Operate in the fruits of righteousness. Now let me just turn over here and just look at this one last scripture, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And look at verse 10. It says, for what? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. This is what Minister Joe was referring to before. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So this fruits of righteousness, these good works were what? Were planned by the Father. These good works, what are they? They're healing the sick, breaking Satan's dominion over men. It will be the ability to unfold the word of God to mankind. These are all the fruits of righteousness. The moment we become the righteousness of God, the Spirit of God becomes our teacher, the word of God becomes our food and our guide, and the Spirit of God will reveal God's word to us, who make it a living thing in our heart and in our minds. And so staying connected to the vine is key, but it's also being reminded that Jesus shed his blood and forgave us once forever. And that there is no remembrance of sin like with the law and the old covenant. They had to do that yearly, but our sins have been remitted. And he says, I will remember their sins and their iniquities no more. And so that allows us to come in boldly into the very presence of God by the blood of Jesus. That's what we have redemption through. In Ephesians, it says, in whom, or in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And so we've been redeemed. I'm telling you, I had one experience in life where I had a person, you've heard me share this, they got right up here and he beat his chest and said, the devil lives in here. And it caught me off guard. I was not expecting it with this person. And the devil got riled up. He got right here. His eyes were bright red. And it happened so fast that you don't have time to think. You have no time to think. And what happened was it felt like a coat dropped on me, just like that. You know when you have a coat on, you feel it. It just went, it dropped on me that quick. And up out of my spirit, I just pointed at him and I said, I'm not afraid of demons or devils. I'm protected by the blood of Jesus. It just came out that quick. And I'll tell you what he did. He turned around and he walked away and he wouldn't look at me for 3 days. The devil knows that we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Yes, there's no name higher than the name of Jesus, but you can't separate the name from the blood. And you can't separate the blood from the word. And he knows that when it talks about at the end of Romans chapter 4, and it talks about that. Let me read it. It says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Most of those scriptures, most of the translations say that when we were justified, he was raised. Because he took our sins and took them to hell. He'd had no sin. And so Jesus took our sins when sin was paid for, Jesus was released. And it says he defeated Satan in his domain and took the keys of what? Death and hell. Oh, the devil knows it. Thing is, do we know it? Do we know who we are in Christ? Do we know what we have? And it's something that we have to meditate on and think about and remind ourselves that God has forgiven me. He's redeemed me. He doesn't remember my sins. I have a brand new future. My past has been wiped away. You know, anybody who's been arrested or anybody who's been in jail or who's gone to prison, when you get out, most of the time, your record follows you through life. But there are times when they say, you know what, that person didn't do that. We're going to expunge and we're going to erase everything that was charged against that individual. That's what happened to us. Everything has been wiped out concerning our past, sin, everything. That's what he said. I'm not imputing their trespasses against them. I'm not holding their past. That's why when it says We are brand new creatures. The past is gone. We're free. We are redeemed. And we can walk right into God's presence in the name of Jesus and plead and ask, not plead in the sense of plea, but we can put our petition before God and he will listen. We are the blood-bought church. And I'm telling you, we don't have to live sometimes in the conditions that we live. God is looking for us to take our place. Take our place in Christ, which is what? Push back the darkness that's held sway in our lives in some areas. In other words, if there's areas where we should be prospering more, maybe it's walking in love, maybe it's prospering more financially, maybe it's prospering more physically and socially, whatever. God's looking for us to do what? Reach out more in faith and take some of the things that have been provided already for us. That's what we're saying here. Taking our place in Christ, not just for us personally, but also, what about the people in our sphere of influence, people we run into, that we can share something good and positive? The good news of the gospel. Hallelujah. Glory to God.